side of the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Together again, my tears have stopped falling. The long, lonely night.
Oh, yes, the long nights are over. My tears
you
have stopped
are
falling.
Truly gifted picking this stuff out. You know that?
Back together again.
Yes, that's it. The band's back together again.
With my co-host, compadre, wingman, Joe D. This is Ray Guarino, Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show here on Long Island.
I bet you haven't used that pronunciation in a while.
I've been very careful, and I'll tell you why in a little while. But you can call us at 516-572-7440 or check us out on the web, motormouthradio.com. Follow us on Twitter at Motormouth Radio or on Instagram, Joe's favorite, real_MotormouthRadio.
_your_
And Facebook, too. You can follow us on Facebook.
Yeah, no live today because like we got some technical things to figure out over there with that.
Exactly.
But we'll be back.
Right. But I am back after my week-long sojourn down south. I was taking a little vacation with my wife. And, of course, our padre, Chris Switzer, was here last week.
Yeah. I still got to take an occasional blood pressure reducer there.
You must have had so much fun.
It was a riot. Yeah, you haven't. That's right. You haven't gotten to hear the show yet.
It was...
Wow, I'm still pumping from that. You know what I mean? Because you're two very different people, Ray.
Well, yeah, and exactly. You got that right. And I haven't had the good fortune to do a show with Chris since the show reorganized a couple of years ago. So I was actually jealous of you, even though I was having fun down in the South. I was.
Yeah.
We tried to catch it, and that's what we did. You know, you can go to, many ways, HPC Online. You can go to nccradio.org. That was the one I forgot.
Right.
You can go to our website, motormouthradio.com, and there's a listen
tab. There's a link there. Yeah, and, listen link. Yeah.
My wife and I, we were on I-81 somewhere down in probably Virginia, Tennessee, when the show was starting. And we got it off the phone internet, but it was spotty. Quite that bad.
Oh.
I was getting some
weird
stuff.
No, I was just stuttering.
Yeah. That's more like it. But, yeah, people should go back. Go to the website and listen to that show because I haven't even heard it yet. I'm gonna do that myself probably later today.
Yes, I was reminded how much fun it was to hang out with Chris and actually, like, listen to when you guys had the repartee going on there.
Right.
Yeah, and I think he's still recovering as well.
He probably is. So let's go to the phones and see who's on the line and say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Good morning, Ray. Good morning, Joe. It's the Bronc. How are you guys doing today?
Bronc, what's up?
Bronc, I think I owe you a phone call. I just, as I said, I just got back from vacation and I saw there was a message, but I'm sorry I haven't gotten to that.
Well, I'll get you this afternoon or sometime tonight, or call me when you get in. I'll be home all day.
Okay.
We just finished Hot August Nights, and I had another incredible first-time experience. I got to be one of the drivers at the Mag Auto Group auction that they had here for 3 days.
Oh, cool.
Which is similar to like a Meekum and a Barrett Jackson kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And it is one of the most incredible experience, whether you're going as a worker or as a participant, just to be there 24/7 during the whole application of the whole auction itself. It was just amazing.
Mm.
Yep.
So what did you get to drive?
I'm sorry?
What did you get to drive?
I started off with an early, they had about 50 motorcycles, which is some of them I never even heard of. So I drove a Victory, actually drove it on stage, drove a Yamaha, pushed a little mini bike, a couple of Corvettes, an anniversary model Corvette, Indianapolis Corvette, a 41 Ford pickup, a 55 Buick, 57 Oldsmobile, 66 442 with a tri-power, fully worked, modified 70 Charger. What else some of the cars I drove there? Oh, I drove a big box van. Never drove one of those things in my life before.
Talk about a kid, like, candy store, huh?
Sounds like when I was driving on my vacation.
Yeah.
Right. No, and then,
go on.
They had the, and then during the week here, you know, it runs about 10 days. You have the Hot August Nights. So you get the opportunity. There was over, oh, I guess about 6,500 different classic and custom cars throughout the whole town of Reno and Sparks. Everything is shut down for this event.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And then at night you have all the entertainment and the music and that kind of deal. So it was pretty interesting, to say the least. You know, and the reason I called you, which would be interesting to the, our listeners, is that I'm going to put you in touch with the owner of Mag Auctions, and it'll be a perfect show set up to do a live call-in show to say what it's like to get involved for the owner, for the buyers, for the participants, what's involved, and just great conversation. He's a great guy. The guy's name is Frank. So
yeah. They do stuff on the East Coast.
I'll talk to you later about that. Call me when you get a chance.
What does MAG Auction stand for? Is it an acronym or is
Motor,
it
Motor Auction Group?
Okay, got it.
Okay, I thought there was a crow in front
so
of that.
So evidently out here, it's a pretty big outfit. They're all over, I guess, the West Coast, as far as I understand. But he'll be able to give you more information about that.
It's kind of interesting because just before I left, the week before I left, the guys at the Autoseum sent down four trailers of cars to the Mecum auction in Harrisburg in PA. Mm-hmm. And I got to see part of that on TV. So some of them sold, some didn't, of course. And, you know, I got a picture of those trucks, the Mecum trucks. Let me tell you, that operation is top class, man. And the drivers, we got to talk with those guys, they really know their stuff when they load those cars.
Right.
And they have to, because some of those cars, I mean, you know, they could load million-dollar cars. You know?
Right. We had cars up there that range, which was really good about this auction. Majority of the cars were drivers. There weren't like, you know, Barrett Jackson or high-end Mecum, where they're mostly trailer queens where people buy them for investment. But these were really nice, clean, beautiful cars. And a lot of the owners, when you drive up, because you have to drive, you know, you drive them down the staging, pre-staging, that kind of thing.
Right.
So you get to talk to a lot of owners about the car. You get the history, what was involved, what they did, and problems they have. So it's just a wealth of information.
Yeah.
And then the spectators, everybody's allowed to either get in the car, open the hood, look underneath, talk about it. So all you're doing is for 3 days, 10 hours a day, talking cars, nostalgia, performance, maintenance, problems. And then I'm not really a 30s or 40s kind of guy. I never really worked on them, you know, outside of here or there at that point. But some of the interesting things of driving these things is just amazing.
Yeah.
This 155 I drove was absolutely gorgeous. It just came out of the show. It was 55 Buick.
Hmm.
I forgot that the starter was under the gas pedal. We pushed the gas pedal all the way to the floor.
The button, yeah, right.
Right, the starter button under the gas pedal.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, you don't think of these. You know, 50 years later, you haven't worked on these things since you were a kid.
60.
Oh, yeah, how do you start? Where's the key? Oh, it's a floor starter.
You know, and Brock, let me take you ahead now. 60 years. The car that I rented to take down on this trip is a brand new VW SUV with
Atlas.
It's got a transponder and no ignition key. You just push. Right. You got to use the button. And I kept going for the column to turn the key.
Oh, that was the lower mile, because usually you get it. The higher miles, you just get in and yell, "Achtung!"
Yeah,
and the car starts. Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, it's all a matter of get. And through the week, of course, you do get used to it. But now you're getting another car. I mean, you know, I drive daily is a Mazda with a parking brake between the two bucket seats.
Right.
But then I get my 65 GTO, I go to cruise that. Now, that's got a stick shift. Well, the Mazda has a stick shift, too. But I always go for that parking brake. I'm like, oh, damn it, that's a console door. It's not a, you know, it's not a parking brake. We're definitely creatures of habit is what it is.
You get used to a certain thing, especially when, you know, driving similar cars. You know, the handbrake's here, or you have a foot pedal here, that kind of thing. All right, and then you get into one of these exotics. Like, I drove this Porsche SC. okay, was they did career modifications on it. And the thing with Nidal, you start up with Nidal, right down between the bucket seats, they had a throttle lever, which is similar to a choke, but it was hooked up to the carburetor. So when the car is cold, you pull this little throttle lever up to get whatever RPM you want where the car would idle smooth until she warmed up.
Okay.
Which I never knew about.
Wow.
And I'm looking around, well, there's got to be a choke, and I see a little button that says throttle on it. I said, okay, pull it up, and the car idled and ran beautifully.
It's pretty, you know, on that note, it's funny. One of the cars that went was Mike's Rat Rod to the auction.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was working on that car, you know, the guy who had built it, and it got sold. So I was happy. But
I'm giving the blessing,
you know,
right?
There
the blessing thing.
Ignition key on the left side, and then there was a toggle. And as I worked on it, I realized, okay, that toggle switch is for the electric fuel pump.
Right.
So
okay.
I wrote a note on a piece of paper just while it was at the Autoseum, you know, toggle up equals fuel pump or something like that.
Right.
And I noticed at the auction, it was still there. They left the note on there. I was like, that's actually pretty good because somebody might wouldn't know. You know, they'd be trying to start it. The fuel pump is off.
Well, this 140, this 40 truck, it was all original. It was a bar find. With the second owner.
Did you say bar find?
That's with a three-speed.
Yeah.
Which was real interesting. You mentioned toggle switch. At the base of the steering column where it meets the gauge panel, you had the key, which was in the steering column, which I never saw in 1940. It was key in the steering column.
Yeah, yeah.
And then right above it at 12 o'clock on the steering column, there was a toggle switch.
Oh.
And that's how you turn the engine on and off. You throw the switch to the right, it shuts the engine off. You throw the switch to the left, okay, and then it would start.
You'd and that was the, factory? That was a factory?
That was a factory installed,
okay.
And it had an actual start button. On the dashboard, which they're using now. So all the new technology that they have now is all based on technology they had 50, 60, 70 years ago.
Everything old is new again. You know, it's kind of like I was thinking about that myself, too, especially with the start-stop stuff. And, you know, I know the one thing that would always screw me up is if they threw me like a Model T or a Model A. You got the ignition advance. And I've driven one. You know, my friend let me drive his car, but he was sitting next to me telling me what to do. And at this point, I wouldn't remember. I'd get out and just push it.
So I wouldn't drive any of the 1930s because you got the spark advance and you got the throttle on the steering column, and it's like, you know, jump around, stand on one leg, wake a chicken over your head, sneeze twice, fart once, and then you start the car.
But you do that anyway, so what's the difference?
I do it anyway, you know, my age, right?
I have
to do it in order to get into the car.
Right. Well, that's good. You had a good time, Brock. That sounds like a great time.
Great thing there, you know, so it's really a lot of fun. And I think definitely get in touch later. I have the guy's information. He's looking forward to talking to you guys.
Okay.
So I'll be home all day. So when you get in, give me a buzz, and then we'll just take it from there.
Will
okay?
do. Thanks a lot, Bronk.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Good
Joe,
talking
you take
to you.
Care of yourself. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. Take care.
So long.
Bye-bye.
That was the Bronk from Nevada. Of course, Hot August Nights is a huge show, which I meant to ask him if it was. They did Street Vibrations, the motorcycle show, I think, right after that.
Right.
Big stuff.
I mean, I know he mentioned it, but like at some other point, but I can't remember now. Yeah. But that's okay. Sounds like he had a good time, and other people let them touch. Let him touch their cars.
Well, at the auction, that's what happens. Because once you bring it in there, you kind of like you're like, okay, you know, you it's like hands off. I mean, if it's a car like that you're flipping or that you really don't have a personal tie to, it's like, yeah, sure. But what if that was a car? Many of these cars were built by guys like us,
sure,
and had a lot of love and care into them. And now it's like you're seeing some auction jockey. It's like. And you may get it back because it may not sell. So you're like, hey, what are you doing? No, don't do that. Do this.
What are those footprints doing on the windshield?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Hand marks. So we got 2 weeks to catch up with. I do, at least, with you. I don't know been up to. I know there's been a lot of wicked weather. We had a lot down there, too. My daughter was watching the place and told us about some hellacious
thunderstorms. Oh, yeah. No, the sky has opened up several times. And I thought I was... going to become a boat mechanic, but it seems to be like in and out, you know, and thankfully. And
has it impacted any kind of car work that you had to do?
Well, luckily I've been inside.
That's good.
You know, because rolling around, like I said to one shop yesterday, they had this Jeep, and I was like, I went on Friday night while it was still clear. I had to do a speedometer gear thing, which I'll discuss in a minute. But basically, I was like, I am not rolling under this car tomorrow in the rain.
Yeah.
So give me a piece of cardboard. Now, luckily, it was a lifted truck. And, you know, I got under there and did what I had to do. But the next day, I would have needed a snorkel.
Yeah, right. On the dashboard.
Really?
If you want to see snorkels on the dashboard, go to motormouthradio.com. You can catch the video that's up there from Laura's Corvette experience.
Yes.
And it's also on... where
it's
else
all
is
over
that?
The place.
It is all
it's
over the place.
Facebook,
it's getting a lot of traction. But for now, let's
She's become famous.
Yeah, absolutely, as she should. We're going to go take a break. We're going to go listen to Joe Diffie, Joe, because this is something that I saw a lot of when I was on my vacation and actually brought some back in my car. So... We'll get that when we come back.
Call back in a couple minutes, okay?
Keep it where you got it. Motormouthradio.com.
Well, in North Carolina, way back in the hills, left my old pappy and he had him still. He brewed white lightning till the sun went down. Then he fill him a jug and he pass it around. Mighty, mighty please, and your pappy's corn squeeze.
White Lightning.
Hi, I'm Rob Leonard. Join me for the free-for-all every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. The free-for-all is a free-form mix of rock and roll. If you remember, rock radio used to mix it up, but now they just play Hotel California every 18 hours. It's not a law, but they're working on it. So join me for the free-for-all every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Replays every Saturday morning, 5 a.m. to 7 a.m., right here on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
I think this board had some white lightning because I'm pushing the button and the thing isn't playing. So we're just totally on the fly today.
I saw you knock that thing over there.
I know. Let's knock this thing over. The flashy thing was flashing.
It was still flashing.
Let's see who's on the line. We'll say, hi, you're out the motor mouths.
Hey, it's Mikey from LT. Welcome back.
Thanks, Mike. Good to hear from you. What's happening?
Nothing. The guy was talking about a 55 Buick. You know, those 364 nail-valve Buicks. They were quick. You know, that particular car, held a 0 to 60 record for probably about 10, 12 years.
Did not
American
know that.
Automobiles, yeah.
Really?
Wow.
That's right. And I tell you what, later on, the 401, they were quick. I had a friend of my brother's, my older brother, had a 59 Buick. Well, this was going back into the late 60s. He had a 59 Buick Invicta, which, you know, they made three models, the Deuce and a Quarter. The Invicta was the baby one.
Right,
the guy
right.
chopped out the ex-member. And he had turned around and stuck, at that time, a Muncie transmission behind the Buick because the dynaflows were blown apart. And he had an all-out 401 with dual quads. It was bored. And they had a lot of... Mondello had done the heads, in fact. And that particular Buick ran a best. I think he ran a best at that time. We're talking 1967, 68. I think it ran a best of about 1161, 1165.
Wow. That's impressive. Yeah.
And it was a convertible.
Oh, geez.
They had cut the ex-member out. They had a Ford 9-inch rear, an old 57 old rear in it. They took the torque tube out. And, in fact, the thing was punched 30 of, which I think was the max. Even you remember those rims with the R2 motors. They were quick.
Yeah.
That is impressive. That thing's a friggin' freight train.
Well, who has
it? I remember as a kid going up to Jack Merkel's garage. You know, Jack Merkel Racing Engines was in my neighborhood in Ridgewood.
Mm-hmm.
And, there was a lot of guys up there with 364 nail-valve Buicks with trips on them, injectors and gases and everything else.
Yeah. It was Oldsmobile had the J2, is that correct?
Yeah, J2. My brother had a J2. He bought from somebody. They had put the rings in upside down, and the thing, when you stood on it, could freaking smoke out the block and kill all the mosquitoes
right.
in a five-mile radius.
Yeah.
They Olds had the J2. They had some balls.
Yeah.
But you know, listen... You know, as we got into the 60s, cars started getting lighter, motors started getting bigger. My cousin had one of the original 427 mystery motors, which was between a 427 and a 409.
Right.
They had bought that motor. It came from Junior Johnson.
Wow.
And they had sold it to Jack, because Jack Merkel came from neighborhood. They sold it to Jack Merkel's cousin, bought that motor.
Talk about white lightning.
Well, let me tell you, I still to this day remember the sound of that thing through the factory headers.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome.
That's nice.
But it's good to have you back, buddy.
Thanks, Mike. Good to hear from you, and keep in touch.
Challenge.
All right.
Cool,
bye-bye.
Man.
Always good to hear from our buddies. From Mike.
You know, that's some great stuff. I mean, you know, that's stuff that I haven't thought about in years, but geez.
Yeah.
The Buick Invicta. I mean, you know, that whole older engine series. You know, the Nailheads.
Yeah.
You know, they're kind of like forgotten now almost. But
right.
Yeah, they were no joke.
Yeah, in the day. Yeah, it's everything. Yeah, you know, like when the small block Chevy hit. Of course, obviously, there's milestones in automotive history. That being one of them, and the small block being another, flathead being another,
mm-hmm.
overhead valve. You know, that was big technology back then.
Sure. You know? I mean, it's amazing that they got something that big in a convertible.
Yeah,
without the X member.
Well, of course, cut out the X member, which is the structural support for the losing the roof.
If I'm not mistaken, the Invicta had some pretty big tail fins too, like almost like the 59 Impala kind of.
Yeah, those cars are pretty
big. I could
big,
just see
yeah.
that aerodynamics, but
flexing yeah. down the road.
Wow. Yeah. It's like porpoising. Yeah.
Speaking of aerodynamics, I don't know if our buddy Vince is listening. He was texting me. I got to get in touch with him. He's a truck driver. And I noticed, you know, you look at the different rigs. I was around trucks all week wherever I went. And one of the things I noticed was, of course, the cabs have changed. The rigs have changed. But on the back box of some of these rigs, what I saw was, you know, there's just two doors that end flat.
Right.
And I was explaining to Linda, one of the things we were talking about on the way back was aerodynamics. I gave her a whole aerodynamics lesson about how air comes around and curls, and so that's why when NASCAR guys draft each other, they're actually in that vortex being pulled.
Right.
And they do the slingshot thing, and actually the front guy slows down, blah, blah, blah. I said, same thing. If we got behind one of those trucks and tucked in, he'd pull us.
Right.
I said, if you're in a certain range behind it, you get all the dirty air that's coming around and swirling, and then if you go far enough back, you're away from it. So what this guy, a couple of these guys had were these big doors. The back doors of the box were closed, but they were flaps on the sides of the truck, and then one on the top and one on the bottom. They're kind of closed in like at a 45. And I know it had to have something to do with air current, but I didn't see it on all the rigs. I only saw it on
some type of spoiler setup type
yeah.
of thing. Yeah, kind of to break up the vortices.
Exactly. I want to see if Vince can shed some light on that. Because
I mean, you know, those things, if you could pick up a mile to the gallon or something like that.
That's what I told her. I said, if you get one MPG over the miles they do,
that's a couple $300.
You know, you're definitely saving money. Well, diesel down there was only like $3 a gallon, three
right.
change. So,
right,
you know, so that was. But then again, I mean, to them, that's significant. To us, you know, the price of gas, $2.55 a gallon was cheap.
Wow.
To me,
yeah,
you know, but
we get used to some inflated prices up here, you know, because it's the overhead, you know, it's the cost of the land and all that kind of stuff.
Well, as I explained to a few people down there, it's the taxation. I said, we are taxed to death, and then we're taxed some more, and then we're taxed when we die.
Right.
You know, they get
that's
us.
That's a Beatles song, I think, right, Rob?
Yeah, the tax man, right. So, yeah, when I was talking to a few people, really real conversations, and we talked about nuts and bolts of things, and we got to talk about, you know, property tax down there is a couple hundred bucks, maybe $1,200 if you have a big spread.
Mm.
I told them what
South
I'm paying.
South 40 and all that, yeah.
You know, I told this woman what we're paying for tax in Nassau County, and she just looked at me. It was like the people when I was buying the smokes, you know, they looked at me. They had that look on their face like, huh? She looked at me and said, you pay what? And I told her, she goes, that's absurd. She goes, you know, we're paying like six times yearly what they're paying for just for property tax or more. And, more than six times. What am I saying? It's probably like eight.
Eight
yeah. So when you compare like that, you really can't because it's just so, there's such a big disparity. But there is something else I want to bring up. Our tech guy, our social media guru, our guy in the clouds, we were talking before I left about, and this went out on Twitter, the five best car movies.
Ah, yes.
This has been beaten to death in magazines all over the place. But we're going to put this up on probably Facebook and maybe on the website. We're going to make a list of maybe the 5 or 10 or 15 best car movies. So I need people to weigh in on that, and we're going to add it to the list in real time as it happens. So we'll...
Because we all have those movies that are car-related that stick in your head. You know, sometimes it's not necessarily centered around the car. It might be a scene containing a car.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, bring it on, by all means.
Yeah, we'll play with that. And some of them were kind of... Of course, we were talking about Tulane, one of my favorites. But let's go...
To the phones!
Back to this thing and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, Mikey from LT again. Hey, Mike. I got something. How about this one? Tulane Blacktop, Hot Rods to Hell, and the California Kid.
Those were actually three of my picks, Mike. Very good. and like I explained to him, some of these movies were, you know, not always like Crazy Mary, Dirty Larry, or Dirty Mary, Crazy. I said, you know, they drive a Charger. They drive their Evading Law. They actually die at the end in a ball of flame.
That was a Peter Fonda stinker.
Oh, yeah.
What an apology. Yeah, well, got it.
Yeah. But that's good. So we'll add those to the list, Mike. Thanks for playing.
You got it.
All right. Bye-bye. That's exactly the kind of stuff we're talking about, movies like
sure.
that. And because of that, our tech guy started looking into Tulane Blacktop, which he hadn't been familiar with. And, of course, I sent him a picture of the die-cast model I have of the 55 Chevy.
Oh, yeah.
And I bought
yeah.
the collector's DVD set, you know, because that's one of my favorite movies in the world, you know.
Of course.
Who wouldn't like a 55 Chevy with plexiglass windows and an M22 behind a big block? You know, come on.
What's not to like?
What's not to like is right.
Yeah, seriously.
So, good stuff. So, we'll follow up with that and...
because there's tons of them, and like I said, they're not as always. Sometimes it's just a scene, you know what I mean? And let's throw some of those in too.
And a lot of them, I was explaining to him, like, you know, just like Easy Rider, which was that's always the preultimate biker classic movie. But the stars of the movie, they get killed, they die. So, but yet the movie is considered a classic because. It was really, you know, I said a lot of these have a lot of, there's a lot of sad stories and a lot of really bad stuff that happens.
Yeah.
Yet it's like in Bullet. I mean, obviously
sure.
bad guys die, the good guy doesn't, Steve McQueen lives.
That
That's
poor
always,
Charger.
That always clicks number one. Yeah, the poor Charger, which was a new car at the time.
Let's see, we have From the Sky, has Vanishing Point made it to the list?
Absolutely, Vanishing Point.
Oh, hell
Point.
Yeah.
And I stand on this, I say... We talked about this last night. I said, if it's going to be Vanishing Point, yes, we got to talk about the original movies. Because I think they did...
There was one about in like the 90s, too.
Yeah.
Which ain't that bad.
I didn't see that.
It's not that bad, but the original... Oh, my God.
But I go with, of course, let me think.
Barry Newman.
Barry Newman, right.
Yeah.
And Super Soul was the DJ. Chris was a big fan of Super Soul.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, the
blind DJ.
The music and there's a lot of stuff that, you know, we shouldn't talk about on the radio that... was good about that.
But Gone in 60 Seconds. Got to be the original, not the Nick Cage remake. Let's go back to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hello, Professor Ray. Hello, Joey D. This is Howie. How are you?
It's the big man. Good, Howie. What's happening?
What's happening, man? We're having a clear sky here, beautiful, at Sagamore Hill. We're here with the Buick guys.
What is this, weather mouth?
Having a tour and having lunch.
Oh, good, good. So it's food mouth. Okay.
Well, lunch is good, yeah.
Good. Yeah, man, they do pretty good. Mark, the activities director, is doing a great job. Marty, the president, is here with me, and we're doing a field trip. You know, like you used to do in high school, a field trip.
Is that like a field car?
A field trip.
That's with American
the
Graffiti,
guy.
another classic.
Right.
Howie, what's your favorite all-time car movie?
Oh, probably would be Bullet.
Bullet, okay. That always makes number one on the list.
Yeah,
what about
sure.
number two? What other ones round out your top list of, like, top three?
It was an old one, I think with Sylvester Stallone. You remember that one?
Cobra?
Yeah, older one. I think it was in the 70s, 80s.
No, Cobra was in the 80s,
like
where he drove a chopped 50s Merc.
Yeah, that fat fender thing, yeah.
That was cool. Okay.
I usually play Bullet really loud, and I upset the girls that I live with.
Well, if you can't do it playing Bullet, playing Bullet loud,
right?
Oh, yeah.
What's that scene where the Mustang shifts like 800 times, through glass packs. Of course,
right, 800, absolutely. I think it's 1,000 times.
And of course, he actually gets to leave rubber on dirt, which is pretty cool. I always wondered how he managed that one, but yeah.
Obviously, the sound effects guys don't drive.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no.
That's no,
okay.
we're taking it easy here. I brought my Buick out. Got up early, put some gas in it, washed it, and got to meet with the old Sears in Hicksville.
Then
we took the nature trail to Oyster Bay.
Very cool.
Cool.
I got a wild one. Boy, our friend Billy just weighed in with Shaft's Big Score. He says that's got a lot of cool cars, and they would be 70s pimpmobiles, I'd imagine. You know?
Right.
Lincoln's with bug-eye lights.
Like
Rolls Royce grills.
Right. Nothing like a classic car cruise, I'll tell you that.
You're right.
I did go to Belmore last Friday, and I did see Jim.
Okay.
The other premier correspondent, and I did see my friend Lowe with his '68 Buick Skylark Custom.
Very nice.
His was really a custom. You know, he had a flat screen that came up in the back seat. It's a convertible. It was burgundy and tan. Beautiful. Had the see-through, like, you know, like the Corvette see-through hood.
That's a custom, all right, yeah.
And it was a beautiful car. Nicely done.
Okay. Very cool.
No.
Excellent.
But that's about it. I just wanted to give you a call, say hello.
All right. Thanks for the update, Howie.
Right.
You know, don't get wet out there.
No, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
We'll try not to.
Be well.
All right. So long.
Okay.
That was the big man.
Yes. Shaft's Big Score supposedly was filmed in College Point. I have on Eye in the Sky Authority over here.
Gee, that's pretty
and,
cool.
And my boy Mike just weighed in with Vanishing Point.
Yes.
Yes. I think that's a biggie for everybody.
All right. Well,
me
we're
too.
Gonna, you know what? We're
Even
gonna take,
if it is a Chrysler.
We're going to take another break because we're going to be moving on here and moving the show along. And Sammy Kershaw. Let's do that. We'll be back with more Motormouth Radio and more of your favorite car movies when we come back. Keep it where you got it.
Well, that big eight-wheeler rolling down the track means your true loving daddy ain't coming back. Well, I'm moving on. I'll soon be gone. You were flying too high for my little old sky, so I'm moving on.
See, this is hi-fi, okay? High fidelity. You know what that means? That means this is the highest quality fidelity. Hi-fi, those are two very important things to have in the stereo system.
Join me, Kim Tracy, on High Fidelity for a mix of music with a focus on newer music and lesser-known artists every Thursday at 2 p.m. on the Voice of Nassau Community College 90.3 WHPC and streaming with the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps.
This is Dennis Pitzenberger from Sticker Shock, and if you're not listening to Motormouth Radio, boy, you are lost in the smoke of the burnout. Make sure to tune in each and every week because these guys are exactly what you want to hear. Real car guys, real talk, every single weekend.
The fastest in the southern land, so keep moving me on. Keep rolling on.
Oh, we are moving and rolling on Motormouth Radio, 516-572-7440, like this caller is doing, and we'll say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Aloha, Bobby and Rose.
Yes!
Wow.
Whoa.
How's that?
Click! That's been a long one. That was in the back of my head.
Yeah, that's it. It's Mikey again.
Yeah, Mike, I figured as much.
That's an oddball. Jeez.
67
you remember,
Camaro.
Do you remember the promo for that?
No, I honestly can't remember the
movie.
It
was the 70s. You can't remember. If you say
Take
you remember
one
the 70s.
Supercharged 68 Camaro. Two lovers on the run from the law.
Oh, geez, that's great. You know, I'm going to go look that up now, Mike. That's going to be one on my list. Thank you for that.
Emerson, Lake, and Palmer played
in
a lot
of... And they used the theme song was Tiny Dancer from Elton John was the theme song to that movie.
Really?
Yeah, believe it or not.
Wow, I'm going to have to watch that sober now.
I'm going to have to go check that out. Yeah, definitely. That's cool.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Mike. Bye.
Thanks, man.
All righty. Oh, that's
We're
cool.
We're going to have to give him his own friggin' phone line pretty soon.
I think so. Mike's going to have to... I'd like to get Mike in the studio with us.
Yeah, we actually have another Mopar, the Bluesmobile.
Of course, the Bluesmobile, right? That's
cop
Polara.
Tires, cop shock. Cop motor.
Yeah.
Yes. Have you noticed there's a lot of Mopars on that list?
Well, there's a lot of Mopars everywhere, right?
Well, that's true, too, yeah.
Yeah.
But and most of them end up either, like, blowing up or, like, you know, self-destructing. But that's okay, because while they're alive, they do some pretty cool stuff.
Oh, right.
So it's okay. And that's right. That's Aloha, Bobby, and Rose. That was, like... 1970-something.
You know, I know the title, but I'm not familiar with the movie, so I probably have seen it, but not a lot. I know I don't own it.
I saw it, I wasn't sober, so I can't really say anything.
I own a lot of car movies, but I do not own that one. So, all right, let's go back to the flashy thing and say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
One more time. Who was the guy that did all the movies like Joe Dirt and all of that? What was his name? He had a Phillips
Joe Dirt,
factor.
David Spade. With
David Spade.
David Spade.
Every movie he did is loaded with Mopars.
He's a Mopar guy, that's for sure.
All the Nicolas Cage movies always have C3 Corvettes.
Right. Although there was a Chevelle in something or other.
Including the one they destroyed in Con Air.
Right. Yes, that's true. Towing it behind the...
But Joe Dirt, he had a charge of Daytona. And when he did the thing, what was that, Tommy Boy? They destroyed the convertible GTX.
GTX, right. That was a beautiful car, too, yeah.
Whoops,
there's a GTX.
That's going to leave a mark.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, he must, he must be
buddy,
in real life.
Yep.
All right, Mike, thanks.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to go. Next break, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to see about having the phone line installed for him.
Yeah, you should do that. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's right. See, another Mopar.
We're gonna have to get a new CD player installed for our files because that ain't working. But the phone line, yeah, we can work on that.
Yeah, that's right. Why do they have that record player? Do they expect you to drop a needle?
I can't play the CDs on a record player. That's going to be the problem.
It's only inches on the reel to reel.
That's right. Let's go back and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Ray, what's going? It's Glenn the Car Hunter.
Hey, Glenn, what's going on?
What's going? I think I might have seen you someplace out of New York in the last week.
Absolutely, you did. I believe that my wife and I were the first New York visitors to your Tennessee spread.
Yes, yes, you were.
And we thank you for that hospitality because you sure did show us some Southern hospitality. It was very nice. Yeah,
I know you're getting all the input from everybody down here about the low taxes and everything. And
yeah.
Unfortunately, you missed our cruise night on Friday, and we went to a car show yesterday over in Knoxville, and I think you would have enjoyed seeing part of the car culture down here.
Well, yeah, I did see the pictures you sent, and I know from the stuff you've been sending throughout the last year or two that the car culture is huge down there, and guys are serious. They really build some nice stuff. It's not like, you know, all pickup trucks with, you know, rotted beds. I mean, these guys build some serious stuff. So
I'm surprised. There were five car shows yesterday within 15 miles of each other.
Wow. Wow. Are you still down there now, Glenn, or did you come back up?
No, I'm still down here. I'll be your talk Wednesday or next week.
Okay. I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show. We did drive 2,000 miles on this trip, and just about, well, I guess it's about 1,400 for the round. So I did about 600 miles of just other driving, which is kind of impressive, I thought.
Well, that's the good thing about here. If you have an old car and you want to put some miles on it, we were talking about this. You kind of get in the car and head off in one direction down a country road, or head to a car show in a couple towns over, or just go for a ride on a country road just to sightsee and check out some old farms and stuff.
And I will say, the roads, even the back roads, Joe, they are beautifully tarred. They're like pristine blacktop. I mean, just so smooth. I mean, don't get too close to the right edge because you're dropping off. But
no kidding.
But beautiful. If you can stay on the surface, you're golden.
They spend the money down here on the roads, not the shoulder. We don't really have shoulders.
right. Yeah, ditches.
If you can't keep it straight, you shouldn't all be driving. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That's true.
Keep the greasy side down and the wheels between the ditches.
Shiny side up, greasy side down, yep. Mm-hmm.
So, and Glenn, the other thing I want to talk about, what was it? I just met, when you were talking, I thought of it. And basically, you guys are lucky enough where you can get non-ethanol gas down there.
Really?
Yeah, we got a gas station, a Shell station, that's got 100% gas right here. And it's supposed to be for boats, but no one cares what you put it in.
No, why would they?
I guess they save the ethanol for other things besides gasoline.
Yeah, it is some kind of anol that they use for other things. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely. And I told people, you know, you can't get better food, meet NASA people. It's just such a beautiful place to be and such a pleasant place to be. It's I couldn't find anything. If you asked me to find something bad to say, I'd have to say, well, there's ditches on the side of the road. That's about it.
Yeah, I was just at the beginning talking about how you had to kind of readjust your way of speaking and pronunciation again.
Well, my wife and I were wondering if, you know, because we're thinking about relocating after retirement. I'm thinking, boy, if we go to a place like this, what's the first word that each of us will say differently than we say here? You know, and because it's probably going to be coffee because
get out of my head.
You know, every time I went into a diner and it got to the point where I just said, yeah, the brown hot stuff, pour it in here, you know, because I didn't want to say the word.
I have a big problem down here because they can't seem to get Glenn right. So I started saying Glean.
Glean?
Glean, because they kind of, it's like you say Glenn and they're like, what? Glean?
Wow. That's odd.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there's a couple. I mean, you spoke to enough people down here to know this. They're not really backwards and they're not uneducated. It's just they have a different slant on the way they say a lot of things.
Yeah, that's all.
It's just a different frigging planet. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, cool stuff. Very good. We're, very happy. And like I said, I would like to see more of the car culture. I know I've lived a lot of it through you because you send a lot of pictures. And the Car Hunter blog, by the way, people should check that out because there
yeah,
is...
Yeah, that's pretty cool. There's some stuff on there.
Yeah, Glenn does post some stuff. Actually, the email
Glean.
He sent... Glean. Yeah, the stuff yes. Glean does is actually...
I am Glean. I am from Altair 4. Yeah, okay.
There you go. Cool, cool stuff. Oh, good, Glenn. Well, enjoy the rest of your time down there the next couple of days. It's I'm envious because we're back. My friend Kevin and his wife are down there right now. They've landed in Pigeon Forge. They're staying at a cabin, so they're down there now. So
we're following up on your trip. You gave me some tips, I guess.
I did, and actually, I had him on the phone one night when I was down there, and I was telling him, "Yeah, we're at the local goat." And I'm wearing my Goats on the Roof t-shirt today, so...
You know, Goats on the Roof. You got to see the Goats on the Roof. Now explain that to somebody up there.
Absolutely. So my daughter is coming over today, the other daughter who turned us on to Tennessee. She was down there like 4 or 5 times. That was really because of her that we went. And we're going to... You know, we did a lot of souvenir shopping and stuff, so we're gonna share some stories this afternoon and just recap. And then I might take a nap. So...
Yeah, you got that trip knocks you out. I put in one shot usually.
Yeah, I'm not up for that yet. I'm not up for one shot. My butt cheeks did start bothering me even in the new car with the nice firm leather seats. So, yeah.
You know, it's funny you talked about taxes, right? Still can't figure it out. There's no income tax down here, but the roads are all perfect.
I said the same thing to my wife. I said, you know, they're not taking the property tax is low. There's income tax. And look at these roads.
Mm.
I'm thinking, like, maybe it's the tourism industry because, you know, we did look it up.
Yeah, and you want to make it nice for people to get down there. You know?
Millions of dollars a year from tourism in Pigeon Forge. It's ridiculous. It's,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's huge.
And the funny part of it is you go back about, I'm going to say, 15 to 18 years, and there was only one hotel there, the Holiday Inn.
Yeah, we looked it up on Wikipedia. I think in the 80s, the population was 1,000, and then it went to like 3,000 by the 90s, and now I think the population's about 5,000 maybe, but the tourism is just, you know, ridiculous. I mean,
Dollywood started that. Dolly Parton started that when she opened Dollywood. Well, she took over a park that was there, and
yes,
that kind of exploded the whole area. Plus, you know, the Rod Run is coming up next month, and you finally were on Parkway. I was trying to explain. That entire road, all the way down to the Gatlinburg sign, is cars.
Yeah, yeah, that's phenomenal. Yeah, I'll get down there for that, but I can't do it this year. Maybe next year I'll get down for that. So,
yeah, we'd have to like fly into something. I don't know if we could drive. Take that long to drive, you know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we'll have to take them parachuting lessons, though.
Yeah. All right, Glenn. Well, thanks for the I just got to say, I really felt. This was kind of what how I kind of felt being down there and coming back. I was just
listen to my story about a man named Jerry.
I just found myself kind of singing this. Right? All right, Glenn. Thanks a lot, brother. Thanks for the hospitality, and we'll talk to you soon.
Y'all come back now.
Yeah. All right, y'all come back now. Yeah. Bye, bye, y'all. So long.
I was trying desperately to figure a way to make that music.
Yeah.
And like sing your story.
Oh yeah,
to that song.
That could be tough. Yeah, you'd have to redo the words. Well, I don't know if you're ever a lyricist in the band. I know, you know.
No, I'm just a screamer.
Yeah, yeah.
I just go with what's on the, but I can't write nothing else.
Yeah.
But, oh, nice banjo pick.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
That's Earl Flatt and Lester Scruggs.
Yeah, legends.
Yeah, oh yeah, the South is cool. I've always liked going upstate to the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I go up with Mike to his place, we sit on a porch, and I feel my brain like go click. The Hertz shifter in my head goes into neutral.
Right.
You just feel yourself kind of just chilling out. You're really just hanging out, and it's like,
yeah,
wow.
things calm down a little bit. I mean, here in New York, we're out of our minds. We run around, and you know, even when we're standing still, we're running around. Our mouths are running, our brains are running, stuff like that.
Absolutely,
that doesn't necessarily make us any smarter than anybody else.
No,
but you know, in the meantime, like our heads are about to explode half the time.
Yeah,
you know, and let's face it, you know, I've gone. I think I might have said this a couple times, but like I used to have. You know, discussions with people about, like, you know, them dumbass rednecks and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yo, I got one thing to say to you that disputes that whole thing. NASCAR.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? You don't think them dum-dums built them things because they stupid.
Speaking of that, let's take our last break. NASCAR, of course, came from Rum Running.
Yes.
And that was the history of that. Look it up. You'll see what that's all about. So let's visit a little bit of that. And this is Jim Varney doing this, which is, I've seen...
Vern? That's Vern, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I've seen my good Bill Kershon, who was in Commander Cody in The Last Planet of Man. I've seen him do this song a couple times. But Jim Varney kind of kicks it. So let's go on a last break. Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D. And we'll be back in a minute.
Pappy said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that Hot Rod Lincoln. Of the hot rod race when the Fords and Lincolns were setting the pace. The story is true, I'm here to say, because I was driving that Model A.
Wow, that's like crazy loud music. What are you listening to?
The best music on the radio. Come on, this is the Iron Age.
The what age?
The Iron Age, the show that brings you various types of heavy metal music from all over the spectrum.
Really? I've never heard of it. How do you know so much about it?
I'm the host.
Wait, if you're the host, how are you driving this car and on the radio at the same time?
Come on, don't ask so many questions. The Iron Age with me, Justin Sullivan, delivers the best variety of heavy metal music that you could ever ask for. Only on the Iron Age will you find music as ridiculously heavy as Meshuggah and Oceania, along with chill and relaxing tunes like Tool and Deftones.
Well, that sounds cool and all, but I think I'm just going to listen to something else.
Ooh, I think that's going to be a problem. I think you're going to have to find another ride then.
What?
Every sound, every note, including the bass, on this track is played by a monkey.
American Hit Radio, Wednesdays and Fridays at 5 p.m. on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
No more. Now the boys all thought I'd lost my sense. Them telephone poles look like a picket fence. They said, slow down, I see spots. Lines on the road just look like dots.
Oh, here we are singing with the mic. That's great. Motormouth Radio, 516-572-7440. Give us a call, talk to us, and we'll share some Southern sensibilities with you and all sorts of crazy stuff because we are...
Yeah, we got to kind of like get you back into the New York state of mind there.
I know. You know, I'll tell you, coming up next week, we have a great guest. It's a fellow who runs a company called Steel Labels.
And, oh, yeah. Right.
See on the website here. Steellabels.com. Check them out. They make little decal labels that you put on your sockets.
Yeah.
And on your toolbox drawers and things. And I've been using them for a number of years now. I had a bunch of these things. And they're very cool. So what I did this time is I petitioned the owner. We're going to have Dave Severance on the show next week. He's going to talk all about that great product they make. And they're very affordable. You get a lot of labels for not a lot of money. So it's something to look into. And while I was away, before I left, I wrote an email to the guy, to the Power Probe Company. They're based out of the desert in California somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave him a call. I'm sorry. I gave him a call to talk to the tech guy.
Right.
And he gave me the email address of the person to talk to. Mm-hmm. So while I was away, he got back to me.
I was using that yesterday at the CF there.
We are going to get a rep from the Power Probe Company on and talk about that.
Definitely.
I have to schedule it. And we're also Booster Dewey, the guys from Booster Dewey.
Oh,
Company,
yeah, them guys, yeah.
They're going to be calling, too. Let's go back to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, guys. Drop Boy Doug here. How we doing?
Hey, Dougie, how are you?
Hey.
First, I want to say thank you, Ray, for the carburetor there.
I guess that means you didn't end up in a ball of flame.
And I'll get back to you on that one. Talking about rides to Tennessee.
Yeah.
Back in the late 80s when I bought my LS6 El Camino, I went down to Newport, Tennessee. I drove a flatbed down there and picked the car up. It was a nice ride. Nice place.
Oh, that's a nice ride in a flatbed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Minky.
Yeah, we went down there with the car.
Wow.
To pick the car up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Oh, geez, that's something.
That's one of the finest upstanding citizens of the UD, UD, CF, whatever it is.
Yeah, then again, I mean, I did drive with my brother a U-Haul truck that had a 3-speed on the column and was governed back from Colorado with a full load of a, you know, with a house in the back of it. So, yeah, I've done those crazy trips, too. And thank God now I rent a nice new SUV and with AC and cruise control and like
radar
massage and me as I drive, you know.
We had AC in the flatbed. That's about it.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, yeah. That's cool.
Talking about them car movies, what about American Graffiti?
Absolutely. That'll absolutely make the list. It has to, yeah. Without a doubt.
If you want, I got a copy of A Lower Bobby and Rose here.
Oh, cool.
You can either come to the CF, we'll run it on the big screen one day, or you can take it home and check it out.
Excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
That's right. Yeah, we can put it on the big screen while we're doing... While we're doing car stuff with my power probe.
I got to ask you, Doug, our social...
Key on, radio on.
Right, Keo Aro, our social media director and web guy, was asking how the new star, the new celebrity of your household is doing. How's Laura doing with her newfound fame?
I seen her on the promo. I heard her on the promo last week, and she's doing all right. She's hanging in there, and she's loving that.
Good,
attention.
Good. Good, good.
And... as every week, you know, she's probably listening in.
Excellent.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good.
The CF down here, and you guys are welcome to come by after you're done on the show.
All righty, Doug.
Yeah, we got more Keon Radio on to do.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Doug, you
I'll
should
tell
hear
that
from
story in a minute.
Okay, same here.
All right,
okay.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, always a pleasure to hear from Dougie.
Oh, yes. And it always is for me, too. Even though I spend many hours down there, we put in an aftermarket antenna in a Grand National.
Oh, right. I remember you were talking about that a while ago, right?
Yeah, no. We got it out. Then we finally got one in that supposedly was a direct fit. No.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Bend this bracket.
It's a fender mount.
Yeah, it's a fender mount.
Right.
And
unlike the fender bass.
Yeah, it's a P-bass there. Yeah. Spank the plank. what was it going? No, see, now I'm thinking about bass. Damn. So, actually, the wiring is different.
Is it?
So, I figured I'd just try hooking it up directly. I cut the old pigtail off the other.
Is this where the power probe came in?
Yeah, and nice. Of course it didn't work right. So then comes the let's try all the different permutations. Right. And, you know, basically, Dougie and Johnny took turns sitting in the car because I'd be like, okay, key on. Okay, radio on. Okay, the antenna doesn't go up. Okay, key off. All right, and then I got it to work a couple times, so we had all different things of key on, key off, radio on, radio off. I'm glad that I got that towards the end. I finally figured out what was going on because I think they were getting just a little tired of that.
Okay, yeah, maybe so.
You know, it's like because as I was going out the door, they're like, key on,
key on, get out.
Yeah, but you know that stuff about direct fit. Always take it with a very big grain of salt.
Yeah.
Like the kind that you find on a pretzel because.
Yeah.
No.
Two things. You know, we were talking about, we're throwing around UD and CF. If people want to know what that means, go to motormouthradio.com. We actually have a decoder.
Yes.
An MMR decoder. It was under the blogs page. It may move, but I think that's where it was. And you can see, you can look that stuff up. CF is actually up there now. So you can go figure that out, find that out for yourself, because we can't tell you what it means. We're sworn to secrecy. and the other thing I want to tell you about the booster guys. Before I left, I had mailed out the brake booster for that 69 Mach 1 down at the shop.
Right.
It is a very specific type booster for that year, and they're kind of hard to get. So I used this guy called Booster Dewey out in Oregon. I had found out about him a few years ago from our buddy Scotty Gosson. And it ends up the business was sold from Dewey sold it to this guy, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
And he's you can see his.
So it's now it's Booster Steve, really, right?
And they still call it Booster. Actually, it's Power Brake Booster. Brake Booster Exchange.com, I think.
I think that's what I remember seeing.
Yeah, and there's also Hemi Booster, because he does the Hemi stuff. You can look up Booster Dewey. You Google that, and you'll find the links. So he called me that the boosters were ready, and I asked him, how bad was that Mustang booster? Because you could not move the transfer rod at all. And he says, yeah, that one was bad. It had a lot of fluid that had leaked into it, which turns to some kind of a cement that, you can't move.
Yeah, we'll have to come up with a way, because Schming doesn't really cover
No, it's going to be something else. So he was able to rebuild that, and at the same time, I sent him the one from my GTO, because I may be putting that back in the car. And he says, oh, that was a piece of cake. That one was easy. That was in the car since it was new, Joe. I'd never changed that, and I've owned the car since the 70s.
Right.
So, I don't know, but he said that was an easy one, which is great. And we're going to get him on the show. Again, that might not be next month now, depending, you know, because we're running out of month.
Right. It's definitely rocketing along, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's what's coming up. We got...
That should be a really good conversation, because boosters are a pretty misunderstood thing, you know what I
mean? Yeah.
A lot of guys don't really understand the dynamics of it.
Right.
You know, and diagnosis of it and how to fix the darn things, you know?
Well, that's it. We don't really fix them ourselves. We replace them, you know?
Right, but that's the thing. Sometimes getting a correctly fixed one could be a real pain in the guts, you know?
Absolutely. So in the weeks to come, we'll talk about boosters. We'll talk about labels for your stuff.
Yeah.
And the other thing was the power probe. The email that the fellow sent me, I haven't gotten back to him yet. I don't even remember his name. Maybe it was Dave. Bro. He told me that... Great. He goes, I'm great. I'm very happy to do that. I want to do this because there's a lot of myths and a lot of tips I can give you and the listeners about how people use the power probe wrong.
They are much maligned.
Yeah.
They are much maligned. Because
it can be a dangerous tool if you use it wrong.
I've seen all kinds of stuff get poofticated with the power probe because you got to understand what it is you're holding.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it actually is a quite powerful tool. Like yesterday, I was using that power antenna, which made my life incredibly easier, rather than sitting there running my usual my usual snake pit of jumper wires.
I like your analogy where you said it's basically a very smart and advanced jumper wire.
It is.
It's a jumper wire that has its own battery on it.
Yeah, power, ground, you know, you could do all kinds of stuff. Now, I know they make a tip that could knock the voltage down to 5 volts, so if you want to do some sensor stuff.
USB stuff or sensors, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, they're really into helping guys diagnose,
right?
You know what I mean? It's definitely part of the arsenal. Where it used to be just like a one step above a jumper wire, now it's become.
The power probe one is it's the most basic. You got to go to at least a 3.
Yeah, that's what I use. Like I got a 3 because it's got the voltmeter and all that stuff on it. You know,
right?
And you know some of the stuff with the hook and whatnot. I mean, you could actually fill up an entire drawer in your toolbox with the power probe stuff these days.
Yeah.
So I would love to hear what this guy's got to say.
And we're going to get him on because that's my the next tool that I plan on buying. So for diagnostic stuff.
Yeah.
And so I have the Mustang to look forward to. That booster should be coming back soon.
Right.
And I got to weasel that thing back in. That's going to be fun.
Oh yeah.
And, that car was still...
I'm thinking maybe we should just chop the friggin' shock tower apart.
I was thinking that the brace, that big brace.
Yeah, that brace.
Yeah, I remember I took a 2-inch window out. I think I may...
We might have to make it a big bay window.
I may go to 8, 9 inches. Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay. We could just mold something back on there. You know, it's no big deal. As long as the car gets... I mean, with the amount of...
rust?
Degradation. Yeah, I was trying to use a polite word here.
Corrosion.
Okay? Yeah, corrosion. Yeah, that thing... a little bit less brace ain't really going to make that much of a difference.
Right.
But in the meantime, stopping it would definitely help.
Oh, definitely help. Definitely.
That's a big safety plus, I must say.
Without a doubt. So that's what's coming up in the weeks to come. We have some good shows coming. And of course, you're going to stay tuned for Thunder Road. I found the first place I found when I got off the highway was Thunder Road. It was a moonshine place. And I thought of Kim.
How could you not?
I whip around. I'm taking a picture. And I said, I got to send this to Kim. She's like, we just got here. What are you doing? I'm like, I'm still on New York time. I got to move. I got to work.
Thank you.
Yeah, we got stuff to do. Come on.
It made me smile. When I saw it, I was like, oh, that's so cool. Thank you so much.
I'm glad. That was it was cool because, hey, what better place for a moonshine distillery than Thunder Road, right?
Are you kidding
Robert me? Mitchum.
It's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the whole thing. So, yeah. Kim, I had to move stuff around. We'll do some programming on the air. I had to put my outro CD in 2 because 3 isn't playing from the board.
Well, Rob and I will make CD player 2 before, because CD 2 8.
Oh, right. That's what he said.
CD.
Oh,
it wouldn't play for... It wouldn't...
Is that 7, 8, 9?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. It wouldn't start remote.
That's pretty... Oh.
I'll fix it.
That's a big hammer you have there, Kim.
Kim just did an in-studio diagnostic. She pulled the back access panel off The cabinet here.
It's missing the connection for the remote.
Really?
So now it should work remotely.
Okay.
Give
well,
it
good.
A shot.
Good.
Yeah. Well, we'll shoot it. Yeah. Let's.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
That remote button.
I should have this. I should put this in the computer here so we have it. The intro and the outro should just be in here, so we don't have to worry about this.
Right.
But
folks, it's the magic of live radio.
We'll do a little quick test. Yeah, it works. Okay, excellent. Thank you, Kim.
No problem.
Very good.
Yeah,
so that being the case. Oh, good. So that was, things get, sometimes the right technician fixes the thing first shot out of the box.
Kim knows her stuff when it comes to this, yeah.
Yeah, unlike me sometimes, it's just always,
look, you know, if it ain't got wheels on it, you know.
Yeah, I know. So if you asked me to try to fix a car, we'd have problems.
Right,
that's,
right.
That's all right, to each our own.
Absolutely.
And... Well, we'll still keep the fire extinguisher around in case all gifted technicians need the fire extinguisher.
So I'm going to get out of here. I still look forward to hearing last week's show with Chris because I know that's going to be radio gold. I haven't heard that yet.
And then I'm going to go high.
Yeah, and it was a pleasure being back. And now in the next few weeks, we have some pretty good guests lined up, so that's going to be some good radio.
Got any suggestions or whatever, and don't forget those movie...
Get in touch with us.
Get to the website there.
About
or Facebook or Instagram or...
Anywhere, right.
Or else we'll be on there. Send up a balloon, who cares?
Yeah. Until then... For Joe D., Ray Guarino, we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.